Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, happy new year. It's Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network, and I'm your host, Kathy Irway. And today I have a guest on who has had a very busy last year or so. He's the author of Veggie Burgers Every Which Way and Vegetarian Entrees That Won't Leave You Hungry. And since then, he's been working on a couple exciting projects, one of which is a new quarterly iTunes-based magazine, a food magazine. And it's very exciting. So it's Lucas Folger in the house. How are you?
Yeah, I think good. Thanks.
Thanks so much for joining. We're now neighbors, too. So that's another exciting development of your year. So I'm looking at your new magazine. It's called Feast. And you just had the first issue out this
Feast,
winter.
Feast by Lucas.
Right.
Yes. And we just launched at the end of November last year.
So, and their theme, too, because this is called Holiday Theme. Yeah, and you have it starts out with a story on finding the holiday feast, and it gets into a menu and beautiful recipes and pictures for each of these, I don't know, 15 or so menu items?
Yeah, like 10 to 12.
10 to 12. It's really, really nice, and also the menu, it's vegetarian, right? Is that going to happen each issue,
yeah,
Feast? But it doesn't sound prohibitive in any way. There's like a phyllo dough pastry with Swiss chard ricotta and mushrooms, a porcini mushroom pate, cider glazed Brussels sprouts, you know, very, very holiday appropriate, but delicious sounding. And who cares if it's vegetarian or not? Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
But how'd you come up with this whole concept, the iTunes, you know, online quarterly?
Well, I'd been, you know, I've been sort of like faltering as a blogger, and I wanted to be able to do some kind of more, publish something more frequently than I can write cookbooks, but not quite. I can't keep up with the velocity of blogging. Like, I know you're really good at blogging and staying on top of that, but I just really failed that way. So I've been, for a while, I've been thinking about different ways to have like a recurring publication that's not a blog, but might, you know, be in a similar digital format, quicker and more, you know, I can write it more quickly based on, you know, things that I'm eating right now.
Yeah. And share those really yummy recent recipes and so forth.
Yeah. And then to have it sort of a seasonality thing, be able to, like, I don't know, pay attention to trends that are happening and then just be right on it. But, and then, I learned about this company, 29th Street Publishing, which is the publisher of the app. My friend Emily works there. And they do, they develop this platform, the publishing platform for this magazine. And they have a number of other, you know, clients, like, I think Serious Eats has a magazine and Harper's Magazine has one. And then they've...
So not just food. Yeah.
Not just food. Yeah. And so it was through talking to them that we developed this quarterly concept. And I liked the idea of a seasonal feast. I just like the word feast.
Right.
I'm excited to sort of like suss that out and apply it in all the different ways. I think like the next issue is going to be focused around weeknight feasts.
Oh, nice.
So, and you know, I live alone. I'm often cooking just for one, and so I like the idea of sort of like applying the feast for one on a weeknight. You know, limiting yourself.
Absolutely.
For limiting.
Treating yourself to an entertained dinner.
Yeah.
Or entertaining yourself, I guess.
Yeah. So that's sort of where it comes from.
I think that this is great because, you know, you're saying about blogging, it's really hard to keep up. You feel pressured to, you know, update at least, I don't know how many times a week or so forth. And because that just seems like the norm. And if you're not doing that, it's like people have this perception that this blog isn't maybe good, or it just, you know, it, that's just the nature of the medium, perhaps, right now, is that you can update every 2 minutes, so why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But with this quarterly, it just seems really, it's obviously longer than normal blog posts, but it's also really composed and really thought through. Like, there's this whole menu centered around this one feast. So I think it's a lot more work, too.
Yeah, my brain works a little better that way. I like thinking topically about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and thinking in terms of menu. I feel like this is a way also, you know, it's available, you know, you can download a preview, but it's a subscription-based publication, so I'm asking people to buy it, and so I'm thinking of different ways to add value. Like, every recipe has, you know, a really nice photo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm you know, spending a lot of time just finessing a menu based around whatever the theme is, and just trying to make sure that it's something that's valuable.
Yeah, each recipe in itself has a little intro and photo. It's almost like each recipe could be a blog post too. So how do we subscribe?
It's sold right now through the iTunes store, so you can go to the iTunes store and download this. It's like the Feast by Lucas app, and then through that you can subscribe. You can either buy an issue or you can subscribe.
Oh, okay. So you can either buy one issue or a yearly subscription of four.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. What is your favorite recipe from this winter feast?
Well, I just had like a New Year's Day party. Whenever that was, how it feels
a
like
a week ago.
Okay,
it
could have been
six
months ago. I have no idea. I just had a party and like a daytime New Year's Day party and made the chili, and it was really exceptional.
Where's the chili?
Maybe scroll down. So I've like struggled to make good vegetarian chili for a long time.
Really?
So many, for me, it's just like a hard thing. Like the balance, it's hard to get the balance right.
Well, a lot of people ask for these like crumbles of fake meat.
Yeah, I don't do that.
You don't do that. No. I didn't think so.
This one, I like, I don't think in this recipe I'd necessarily specify to use like a combination of beans, but in my last one, I had some red beans, I had some navy beans, I had some cannellini beans, and just use, you know, a mixture of beans, and I think that made some nice like textural contrast.
Mm-hmm.
But then, more importantly, it was all the different layers of heat.
Ooh.
So there's like some dried ancho chilies that you reconstitute and then grind up with
sort of like a
bunch
mole
of ginger and some serranos and then a little smoked paprika and
you put ginger in it?
Yeah.
Whoa. yeah, different types of heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh my God, that sounds perfect for these winter days.
Yeah, it was a hit at the party.
Awesome. You're actually like the second person I know who does an annual New Year's Day chili.
I think someone we know in common was coming from one chili thing to another chili thing. Yeah.
There's nothing like a weekend meal like that where you can make a big vat and then like save and eat the rest of the portions.
When something that like improves as it sits too. I feel like that's a really good way to go when you're entertaining, especially like an open house style thing.
Yeah. So tell me more about, since you've written a whole book about veggie burgers with how many different recipes for veggie burgers?
35.
30,
somewhere between 30 and 35.
And recently you kicked this off into a company selling
veggie burgers. Yeah, right around the time that we launched this feast quarterly, I launched a line of veggie burgers in the New York City area.
So oh my God, that's awesome.
It's a little different than most of the veggie burgers because you sell it in like a so the company is called Made by Lucas. And we have two lines of burgers. One's a beet hazelnut burger and the other one is a carrot, parsnip, and almond burger.
Mm-hmm. And more flavors on the way.
Yeah. And so we sell like the veggie burger mix in a little tub. So then you take it home and you shape it into patties or little bites or whatever. And
you could shape it into meatballs or fake meatballs. I mean,
yeah.
You could shape it in
whatever. Filled dumplings.
Hello Kitty heads.
Yeah. Stars and rainbows.
I think that's really clever because something about the kind of like flat patty that is a little one-dimensional looking, it's cardboard looking, then you know, that comes out of the freezer for veggie patties, and it's a little unappetizing looking. But the colors, like you've got carrots and beets in the Made by Lucas burger mix, is just like really inviting.
Yeah,
makes me wanna.
Well, we feel that these are a very like true veg. It's like 90% just fresh vegetables, and then the rest are nuts and quinoa and spices. So it's
it's gluten-free, too.
It's gluten-free. It's vegan. There's no soy. There's nothing. I mean, you might, if you're allergic to nuts, you might not want to try them. But other than that, it should be, like, good for everybody.
Yeah. And there's protein there from the quinoa. I know it's really
the quinoa and the nuts have some protein, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check out Made by Lucas. Where can we get it now? I know it just launched.
Yeah, all the gourmet garages, Green Grape, Paralandra, Food Cellar, sort of like Back to the Land in Park Slope.
So it's all just really fresh, so that's why it's only in New York City
for now. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So exciting, and I can't wait to taste new flavors. I know you were serving these up for a while, at, you know, parties and a few bars here.
I had them on the menu at 61 Local for a long time.
Okay, yeah, awesome. Is it still there? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So now you can just buy them in a tub and make them at home. What is one really weird, inventive way to use the veggie burger mix that is not a burger?
Well, I was just saying, as a dumpling filling is kind of fun.
Oh my gosh.
Here's something. The dishwasher at the kitchen where I cook, he said that he's not at all a vegetarian. So he was like, I use this to stretch my meat. So he's like cooking up meat in a fry pan and then adds more of the veggie burger mix and it's sort of like a meat vegetable hash. Mm. So that's something.
I was thinking, because when we're talking about chili, it's almost like you can kind of throw this into your chili.
Yeah,
some
totally.
Sort of leftovers, just color it up a little bit.
Yeah, I haven't tried that, but it would probably be good.
Yeah, and there's no egg, right? There's no binder. It's fascinating, but it really works, though. It really comes together.
It does, yeah.
I guess that's, what is that, the nuts? Or
a potato.
Okay.
It has that, like, glutinous starch. Quality once you blitz the crap out of it.
So what is the next topic for, I think you already shared that, for Feast is the weeknight.
Yes, next one is weeknights, yeah.
And that's for entertaining for one. Can you share any recipe that you're working on right now?
I'm doing a couple different, the thing I'm trying to figure out right now is dessert, because there's so many like obvious desserts for one, but I'm trying to come up with something that's like feels decadent but also makes sense in the context of
weeknight. Yeah, because if you're gonna bake or something, to mix up all those perfect proportions doesn't usually translate for one serving.
Yeah, well, and it's not necessarily weeknights for one, but it's sort of like a more, you know, the genesis of the weeknight was, you know, one of those nights when I got home from work and I was like totally exhausted and sore and I just wanted to like go out to eat, and I, you know, resisted that temptation and sort of stood there in my kitchen and set out what I had and ended up just like making risotto. And the process of making risotto and then sitting down to eat it was just like such a restorative, like it was the perfect thing that I needed after a long day. And so trying to like continue that, you're trying to apply that to like, you know,
that train of thought, to
treat
dessert.
Yourself, find some, take some pleasure in the cooking itself.
And, absolutely.
And that might be rather what than our worrying, weeknights need.
Yeah, rather than worrying too much about how quick is this? Is this going to be over in 30
minutes?
How many
dishes
minutes?
Do I have to wash? Yeah.
Right. Just, you know, enjoying the process itself.
Yeah. Restorative awesome. Weeknight dinners.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing that issue when it comes out in a month or so.
Yeah, toward the end of February.
All right, definitely check that out on iTunes. We're going to cut to a quick little commercial interlude, and we'll be right back chatting more with Lucas Folger.
You are listening to It Ain't Hard to Tell by the California Honey Drops on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Please don't say you love me when you do how you do.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Did you know that pollinators are needed for more than 2/3 of the world's crop species? Most of these pollinators are bees. However, North America's bee population has been steadily declining since the 1990s. Whether you live in the country or the city, you can show your commitment by hosting a hive in your backyard or even on a rooftop. The beekeeping movement is growing, so you're sure to find swarms of folks who can help you find your way. Learn more about the ways you can help be the solution at wholefoodsmarket.com/sharethebuzz.
we're back chatting with Lucas Vulgar on the new Feast by Lucas, iTunes-based subscription quarterly magazine on food by 29th Street Publishing. It's really an exciting concept. I love how you explained that it came out of being frustrated by blogging, so trying something new.
Being personally frustrated, like I love reading food blogs. I spend way too much time doing that.
Yeah, but you know, this is an exciting, you know, different medium or genre, if you will, to try out. And you know, the sky's the limit now that you know you could have digital books and you know download those instead. So why not magazines, quarterly magazines too?
Yeah, totally.
So congrats to that. I was going to ask because you've written a lot about vegetarian food and you sell vegetarian burger patties. Do you find that it is easier to cook simply, quickly, and sort of more effortlessly when it's only vegetarian ingredients? Do you find that to be an advantage?
It's definitely cheaper.
It's cheaper. Yeah.
I don't eat very much meat, and I don't like cook it when I do. I'll eat meat, but it's
usually
not in my house.
I also know that Lucas is not like a lifelong vegetarian, so that's why
or a strict one,
right? In comparison,
but it's probably like I don't know. You have to like. There's more prep work involved in vegetarian cooking for sure.
There's chopping up.
You know, you have vegetables to chop up. I feel like if you're just going to cook yourself a piece of meat, you can kind of
grill
it in the pan and cook it, and then some vegetables.
But that's usually an expensive cut of meat that you would just throw in a pan.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like that. Yeah.
I don't know. I like the chopping, and I mean that's something that always calms me down. So it's, I don't necessarily think about it as much of a chore.
Mm-hmm. You can't just like throw a carrot onto the grill.
No, you have to like yeah. Though a grill would be so nice. I feel like if I ever have room for a grill, I would so love to have that. Just seems like that would eliminate a lot of dishes. And
I know. You know, something like a tiny New York kitchen, that would be very, very rare to find. But hey, you never know. So you're mostly a vegetarian these days.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me more about that decision. Did you decide to eat meat just for exploration's sake? Or
A little bit. You know, I have gone back and forth being, you know, strict vegetarian and not, and now it's just I sort of just like got, I don't know, maybe it's lazy, but I just like loosened up about it where I don't think about it all that often.
Okay.
Like when I cook at home, I always cook vegetarian. I mean, unless it's a super special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very often like buying meat myself. But if somebody invites me over for dinner, mm-hmm. or if I'm out to eat someplace and whatever, you know, I'm curious to know.
A Caribbean restaurant and you want to try whatever is their specialty, you might eat meat.
Well, in New York, I'm like, I am not immune to the sexy appeal of the New York dining scene where it's just, I want to know what people are talking about, you know, I want to like, and right now meat seems to be the most exciting stuff in terms of food.
It is, yeah.
So I don't eat a lot of it, but if, you know, if I'm out to eat it, I'm curious.
It's really
to try.
Tough to be a vegetarian and, you know, kind of be on, just in the know about the latest trends in food.
Yeah.
It's tough. But, you know, I can relate a lot to what you just said about cooking vegetarian for yourself if it's not for some special occasion or you're not entertaining, because I find that I do that a lot too.
Uh-huh.
And I've, you know, talked to a lot of friends who they say when they cook, it's mostly something vegetarian, like a simple pasta with veggies. And I think it's very interesting, and I wonder if it has to do with the expense or maybe it's just the personal preferences of not buying meat.
I bet a lot
sometimes.
Of it is, well, I mean, I just feel so much better when I eat. I just spent Christmas out in Nevada with my family, and I ate a fair amount more meat than I normally do, and it just like takes me a week and a half to recover from that, and. On the one hand, I just feel, or, you know, one point one is that I just feel so much better when I'm not eating meat.
Right.
And then the other thing is, like, if you're going to be careful about sourcing it, you're going to end up spending so much more money on that kind of ingredient. So
and maybe going out of your way to find that in the first place.
Yeah, and the trouble and the time. Yeah.
Yeah, there is an interesting paradox for a lot of people. I can't imagine a lot of people making themselves like the most decadent gourmet burger on a brioche with like blue cheese right. and stuff, bacon. But I feel like that's what a lot of people go out for to treat themselves to.
True.
So I guess, you know, different different venues for different types of food, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much about, well, it is about health purposes because, you know, it's, you know, if you cook more often, then you go out. Feast holiday, it is a beautiful, how did you shoot it, by the way, too? Because there's a design element, that is really clean and it's, evocative of just an everyday sort of kitchen. It's not too styled out. It's not too crazy.
Yeah, that's what I had an idea for like an all white background. And you know, I'm like a marginally skilled photographer, like, that's not really my forte is taking photos, but I've been working on it a lot. And so I had an idea for like a really clean, crisp white background throughout. And I thought that would be kind of nice in a digital format.
And I see that it's not always just plated. Like you have like the sheet tray here, a little crusty looking uh-huh. sheet tray with the, so there's some process shots showing the process a bit. And so you shot this whole thing.
I did, yeah. I had some friend. My friend Sean came over for one. I did it over the course of a couple of days. He came over for one day with his tripod and showed me how to use my camera. With, you know, I mostly just use my iPhone
mm-hmm.
when I'm, you know, not doing stuff like this. But I had a little bit of help for the cover photograph. I asked my friend Kara Howe, who's a really good photographer in the city, to take that, and
yeah,
we did
the
that
cover
in her
is
studio.
Great because you're in it, so you can't shoot it. But how did this differ from doing a cookbook shoot? Because I know that you have two cookbooks, and you weren't the photographer. That was like a whole process of, you know.
Yeah, I think this mainly differs just in the sense that there's like this. I have like total creative freedom. I mean, Emily mm-hmm. At 29th Street edited. But, you know, it's mostly I get to do whatever I want.
So it's something like in between having a book publication and a blog, because a blog is totally unedited. I wouldn't have anyone recipe checking or testing my recipes or you know, any of the typos in uh-huh. the prose.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's nice to have that.
I like that, too. I like the, oh, and if people are paying for it, then I feel a lot more accountable to making sure that, you know, these recipes are all tested. That's mm-hmm. been pretty rigorously edited on my part, more so than if I'm writing something for my blog. The photos, I definitely spent, you know, create a little mini studio in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with when I do shots in my kitchen for the blog, it's a little bit more informal.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, that seems to be the way to go if you're going to make a blog post every other day or so.
I don't know how people do it and then also have all these gorgeous photos. Because then you have to, also the thing that kept like catching me up with the blog, I was like, well, you only have these certain hours when the light is good to shoot stuff. So I just don't understand how people manage their time.
No.
And then not have like this totally filthy kitchen all their life.
I'm sometimes racing and I don't catch the right sun. I'm like, okay, never mind.
It's gonna be a flash.
No, actually, I won't shoot it.
Oh.
You know, save it for another day. But did you have any precedence of this type of online quarterly or not online? What do you call this?
It's it's an iOS quarterly, technically, for Mac devices.
Have you seen anything like it that inspired you?
I read a lot of food blogs and I read a lot of food writing. I hadn't seen anything that has this much of a personal narrative or it's not like a story about my life or anything, but it definitely, I put my name in it and there's an introductory essay that is, you know, personal writing.
Absolutely.
And the essay is sort of, you know, in this first issue, I spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, my holiday meals growing up mm-hmm. or ones that I've sort of fantasized about as an adult or, you know, it has a pretty strong personal element.
It's a personal essay.
This is a personal essay.
Holiday feasting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I haven't really seen anything like that in the quarterly format. Right. I could just have overlooked it, but
right.
especially in this digital format as well.
Well, because a lot of the food quarterlies, which I'm really excited about, you know, there's a lot now in print. Mm-hmm. We've seen like Kinfolk and Gather Journal, so forth. You know, those are group written with different contributors with, you know, personal essays. But I imagine that throughout the course of reading issues of Feast, we'll get to hear from one author, and that's really different, and get to see, you know, all your personal essays, you know, in a nice, like, neat, short, digestible form, sort of like a blog.
Yeah.
Well, sort of that's like the, something in between. I don't know.
That was a little bit of the impetus behind it, too, is that I'm sometimes, you know, I read blogs on my computer, so it's like it's sitting on my chair and at my desk, and I like the idea of being able to take, you know, I read cookbooks in bed, and being able to take my iPad or my, you know, phone into bed and read it in bed, and I don't know, something is more akin to a book than a blog.
It is more akin. Can you print it, and you'll just have like this, I guess you can, you'll have a PDF and print it?
I don't know. I don't think you can. I mean, I think it would be a lot of work. You'd have to do like screenshots and then print it.
Okay.
I sent you that as just like a promo thing.
But it's perfect on an iPad.
Yeah.
Or something
like
that.
When they did, 29th Street did such a nice job designing it. It looks really good. It's really, I mean, I use my iPad in the kitchen a lot when I'm developing recipes and cooking from stuff. And
yeah.
I found that
it's like holding a book. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just being able to relay to them like the ways it's, you know, like, you don't want to scroll too much. You don't, you know, when you're cooking with an iPad, and I feel like they just designed something that is pretty suitable for the kitchen and for, you know, armchair reading.
I see. Well, this is really exciting developments all around.
Yeah, thanks.
Very thoughtful. And I just found that recipe for the chili. Finally, it is vegetarian brown ale chili with winter squash. Mm-hmm. Did not know that. Cannellini, navy, cranberry. And so that's your variety of beans that you recommend, although it
one,
says you
one
can,
or a combination
or any and then I love the pumpkin. It's very colorful, so I'm definitely going to try that out. And if anyone listening out there wants to try out this delicious chili recipe and anything else from Feast by Lucas, definitely check it out on iTunes.
There's a free download preview up there.
Get a yearly subscription, 4 issues. I can't wait.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right, that's about all the time we've got, but we'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.